Hey, hello, at some point, this is Paul and Leslie Cheeseman, and Leslie is going to be speaking to us this morning. So, Leslie, if you wouldn't mind joining me on stage, that would be helpful. So, Paul and Leslie work for a charity called Agape, which is who I used to work for before I was at Maybridge. So, I've known these guys many years, and in fact, for a while, Leslie was my boss. So, can you imagine how hard that would have been? But it's great to have you with us. Do you want to just say a little bit about yourself, and then I'll pray for you?
Yeah. So it's so great to be here. Married to Paul, we've got two kids, grown up. I know we hopefully don't look old enough, but we live in Birmingham, and like I say, who's your name's Matt? Matt said we work for, both of us work for Agape, and we're all about Jesus. We love Jesus, and we're passionate about helping people to discover Jesus. It's the greatest news ever that you can share with someone. So that's what we're all about. I hail from this area, so I grew up in Hove. Maybe you know from the accent. I'm sorry, but I am a Sussex girl. I am a Sussex girl, and my dad grew up in Washington. There's generations of my family have lived in Washington. Some still live there. So this feels very much like coming home.
Excellent. So I'm going to pray for you.
Thanks,
and then
Matt.
I'll be over to you. Father God, thank you for Paul and Leslie, and thank you for what Leslie has to share with us just now. I pray you'd speak through her and speak through what it says in the Bible, and help us to understand more of who you are, and then in light of that, who we are and who you intend us to be. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Matt. One second. Get myself sorted. So, yeah, great to be here. Thanks so much, Matt, for the chance to speak today. I feel like I can't actually see Matt down there, but that's okay. I'm not very tall. That's brilliant. Perfect. Thank you so much. And, yeah, it's just great to be here. It's always great to meet new people and old friends. Jen, we know Jen. I didn't realise Jen came to this church, so it's just brilliant to be with old friends and new. It's great to be able to, always when you're asked to speak, it's always great to be asked to speak about something that you love to speak about. Now, I love speaking about Jesus, clearly. But I also love speaking about kindness. And that's what we're going to be talking today about. So I'm jumping into the middle of a series that is of talks that are happening at the church at the minute called Life Goals. And this is a series thinking about life goals, not in terms of often what people think about when they think about life goals in terms of having a great job, having a family, traveling the world and owning a Porsche. I still love to own a Porsche, but it is about, it's never going to happen, but it is about who we are and who we are becoming. These are God's life goals for us, which are infinitely better than any life goals that we might have around these other things. God's priority for us is the formation of our character, and it's in all the best possible ways, becoming more fully who God intended us to be. And as the one who made us in the first place, he knows what's best for us and wants to shape us, shape who we are and who we are becoming. That is our character, to display in us all his goodness. So in the book of Galatians in the Bible, which is, as you may know, is a letter written by Paul, and he explains what we become like when we love God, when we follow him, and when we have his Holy Spirit living in us. He writes that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we come this week to talking about the one right in the middle, kindness. Don't you just love being around somebody who is kind? Take a moment. Who comes to mind when you think of a kind person? Who, you can't think of yourself. Think of someone else. I'm so kind. Think of somebody who instantly comes to mind when you think about a kind person. Kindness is one of the most beautiful characteristics I think you can find in a person. It's often, I think, deeply underrated as a characteristic. Kindness just seems like it's not very important, but it's deeply underrated, I think. And in many ways, it's so simple, yet when we experience it, it has a profound impact on our lives. Even in the smallest possible ways, when somebody smiles at you, it has an impact on us. I remember once sitting in a hospital waiting room, waiting for an appointment with a consultant. And I hadn't met the doctor before, and I was quite nervous about the issue that I was seeing the doctor about. And my one prayer as I sat in the waiting room was not, well, I hoped the doctor would be an expert, of course, but actually my prayer was, please, Lord, let them be kind. Because what I was wanting to experience in a time of my nervousness and anxiety and vulnerability was somebody who'd have compassion and I would experience their kindness. I would experience them seeing me and showing me some kindness. Kindness is one of the first things we expect, that I expect we were told as children to be. We were probably told quite early on that it's good to be kind. From the youngest age, it's impressed upon us to act with kindness. We're told to be kind with our words. We're told to be kind in how we play with other children, especially our siblings. And we're told to even be kind in how we touch another person, with gentleness and kindness. I was really enjoying sitting here this morning watching the children there. There was a huge amount of kindness going on. Whoever the parents are doing a great job and teaching your children to be kind. But it was just lovely sharing and just seeing the children interacting with each other. But we know, even though we know it's important to be kind, that it's actually not very easy all the time. It's not easy for children, but it's also not very easy for us as adults, if we're honest with ourselves, to be kind all the time. And we find it particularly tricky to be kind to people that we disagree with, people that we don't get along with, and to be blunt, people that we simply don't like. That's kind of hard. You have to work harder to be kind in those situations. I know certainly it's going to be no surprise, but I'm not always kind, and certainly not kind in the way that reflects God's kindness to others. I can one place I know I can be quite uncharitable is when I'm driving in my car and I'm behind the wheel, and if I think another driver is driving in an unacceptable manner, I'm not one of those people that beeps the horn, but there's rather unkind thoughts come to mind. I don't know if you relate, and especially when you are polite and you let somebody out and they don't thank you. Oh, it's really irritating. I don't know if you've ever related, but choosing in those moments to what does it mean to be kind, even in those moments when you don't encounter a person, because it's often a quite private thing what kindness is, how you being more kind, you becoming more kind. Driving aside, our culture is becoming increasingly polarized, and that often manifests itself in not treating others with compassion and kindness. And that's never more evident, I think, than in politics. And this week, if you watch the news, this is our Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, and sitting to his right is Rachel Reeves, our Chancellor of the Exchequer. And this picture, I feel like is a rather cruel picture, I feel bad even showing it this morning, has been splashed across our news this week, because it was a picture of Rachel Reeves openly crying while sitting in Prime Minister's Question Time in Parliament this week. For all the world, or certainly all of those that watch the news, to see. It was reported that she was crying over a personal matter, but whatever the reason, it's fascinating to see the response, especially by people on both sides of the House and also in the media. There was a lot of talk about how we might not agree with her politics and we might not agree with her decisions that she's made, but that it's important to remember that she is human. It was encouraging in many ways to see the levels of compassion that she was afforded this week. It's a level of compassion we don't, I think, often afford leaders in particular. I think you'd have to have a pretty cold heart not to feel at least some level of empathy and compassion in the face of clearly such distress. But I was glad to see that that people were showing empathy and compassion towards her as her emotions were spilling over very, very publicly. It kind of reminds us that she is a normal person, that she's a human being, that she has stuff in her own life, and she has unbelievable pressures. And sometimes we need to kind of almost rehumanize a person, particularly if we find people difficult, we don't agree with them, that we have to remember they're actually a human being, they're a person. They're not just kind of their job or their politics or their views. They are a human person like you and I. But there is at times a huge disconnect between how we want to be treated and how we treat others. Ian McLaren, who was a minister about 100 years ago, said this quite well-known words. He said, "Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle." This disconnect that we just talked about is not just in politics. It is rife in our media and in social media, both in terms of how things are reported and also about how people comment about things. And too often, again, we fail to see the person behind the story, particularly when we disagree with their actions or perspectives. In 2020, quite famous television presenter called Caroline Flack sadly took her own life, and it shocked everyone. I don't know if you remember it. 2 months before she took her life, she was accused of a crime, and she instantly went from being a media darling to being hated and reviled. She was very publicly humiliated and proverbially ripped to shreds. Just before she died, she posted this on Instagram: "In a world where you can be anything, be kind." And after she died, there was such shock around her taking her own life that the hashtag Be Kind movement began, as people started sharing this hashtag and encouraging others to act with compassion and kindness, especially online. People made T-shirts, and there was a lot of noise about it to start with. But over time, it became very clear that the noise didn't really produce much change in behaviour. And a year after her death, this article came out, and these words struck me. It says, "We became bloodhounds, baying for the carcass of someone who is often too vulnerable and broken to escape. Anyway, we vowed to be better and to share the hashtag Be Kind liberally. A year on from her death, it seems that we have learnt very little about the power of kindness." Why is this? It seems that we are increasingly valuing something more than we value kindness in our culture. An increased value, it seems, or it's very popular right now to be outraged about something. There's a lot of outrage everywhere. Particularly in a digital generation, people who are online, there's an increasing amount of outrage, and this is how people are reacting online. There's a really good author who wrote a brilliant book called, is a guy called Sky Jathani. He wrote a very good book called What If Jesus Was Serious? And he's looking at the things that Jesus teaches and how we should live, but the reality being that we have a tendency to live the opposite. He makes the point that we often ignore what Jesus teaches us as though we think he wasn't particularly serious when he said those things. Rather, we prefer to live in a way that seems more acceptable in our culture. In particular, he points out that in our culture, we are addicted to outrage. And unless we too show outrage at the things it's popular to be outraged about, the outrage is then turned on us. I don't know if you relate to that. Now, outrage can sometimes be a catalyst for change, but more often than not, I think it's the enemy of kindness. If we lose sight of the need for compassion and empathy towards others, seeing them in their inherent value and worth and deserving of kindness too. Much as we're told as children to be kind, true kindness is counter to the prevailing culture around us, and we need to dig in to why it's not actually very natural for us to be kind the way that God made us to be kind, and how we can become more kind as God intended. So we're going to look at briefly four things. There's five. Five things. I can't count this morning. So we're going to look at what is kindness briefly. What does it look like? We're going to dig into a little bit the extraordinary kindness of God and how God's kindness changes everything. And then we're going to talk very briefly at the end about how we can become more kind. So what is kindness? We often think of kindness as a verb, and the things that we do. Now, they do result in the things that we do. I'm going to talk about what things we can do later. But kindness that is talked about in Galatians, the fruit, is a noun. It is about who we are in our being, our character. This is not superficial niceness. This is about the core of who we are. And in the original Greek, when Paul wrote Galatians, the word that he used for kindness is a word, it's called kreistotis. And it's a character marked by benevolence, a desire to do good to others, by generosity, and by a lack of harshness, which is very counter to often how outrage is experienced. And it spills over, kreistotis, kindness, spills over into the way that we live. And it's rooted deeply in the character of God, in who he is. And it grows in us as we follow him, as we love him, as we trust him, and as we desire to live like him. Being kind affects our thinking, our speaking, our view of others, our actions, and our responses. True kindness is uncomfortable. It is uncompromising. It is unhurried. It is inconvenient, and it is unreciprocated. It's easy to be kind to those people we find it easy. But the mark of godly kindness, as Paul writes in Galatians, is when we are the kind of people that are kind to people when it's difficult and it doesn't really make human sense. The writer John Piper says this: it's a supernaturally generous orientation of our hearts towards other people, even when they don't deserve it and don't love us in return. Striking, isn't it? It's a supernaturally generous orientation. It's not natural for us. And it's an orientation of our hearts towards other people, even when they don't deserve it and even when they don't love us in return. This is a hard kind of love. This kind of loving kindness is tough. Well, God didn't leave us in the dark in terms of trying to understand what this really looks like in practice. And Jesus told a story that is fairly famous called the Good Samaritan. You may be familiar with it. And you may know of the organization, the Samaritans. So it's kind of a common word in our culture, but sometimes we don't know really where the story comes from with the Good Samaritan. Well, Jesus once was asked when he was alive on earth, once was asked a question by a Jewish religious expert. The expert asked him, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" Good question. As normal, Jesus turned the question back to him and said, "What do you think?" And so he's an expert of the law. So he said, "Well, I should love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength and all my mind. And I should love my neighbor as myself." Jesus confirms this is the right answer. But the expert wants to know the fine detail. And he says to Jesus, "But who is my neighbor?" And the answer that Jesus gives is in a story. And it's an answer that would have made this Jewish expert very, very uncomfortable. It's a story of a man who's been robbed. He's been beaten up. And he's been left at the road, side of the road, half dead. The road that he was on was notorious for being very, very dangerous. You didn't walk down it without some level of trepidation. I can think of a few of those roads in Birmingham. And the three people in this story pass by this man that's lying in the ditch. Two of them are unhelpful, and one of them is helpful. And it's the most unlikely one that helps the man in the ditch. The first one who passed him is a Jewish priest. Now, you'd think, He's a Jewish guy that's lying in the ditch, a Jewish priest. He's like his minister. Of course he's going to help. And as he walks along, whether he sees the guy or not, he clearly does, because he crosses the other side of the road and carries on as though he didn't see him. And it's a bit like, you've found yourself in real trouble in the middle of Worthing. It would never happen, of course. But you find yourself in real trouble in the middle of Worthing, and Matt's coming along, and you kind of see him at the corner of your bloody eye, and you think, oh, good, Matt's coming. And then he kind of gives you a very wide berth and crosses the road and walks on the other side. It'd be pretty devastating. The second person who passes this guy in the ditch is a Levite. And now that's a kind of Jewish kind of worship leader. And he does exactly the same thing. He walks along, sees the guy, crosses over the side of the road and passes him by. It's a bit like your brand new worship leader, Josh. You're thinking, he's a new guy, he's trying to make a good impression. Matt was useless, but maybe Josh, he's going to be helpful. But oh no, he gives you a wide berth too. Clearly this is just a made-up story. The last person who comes along is the Samaritan, which this story is about. Now, Jews and Samaritans didn't get on with each other. It's not just that they weren't friends, they despised each other. They were like the worst of enemies. Jewish people thought that it was better to be a dog than to be a Samaritan. There was no love lost between Jews and Samaritans. But this man, who is allegedly an enemy of the guys lying in the ditch, sees the man in distress and goes over to him. He binds up his wounds. He's bleeding all out. He binds up his wounds. He cleans him up. And then he inconveniences himself even further by putting him on his donkey and taking him to the nearest inn, where he stays with him to look after him. The next day, he pays the innkeeper the money and then says, I'll be back to see how he is and pay you any extra money that it has cost to look after him. This would have been such a shocking story to this Jewish expert asking Jesus, who is my neighbor? This was not the answer that he was expecting, and it's an incredibly inconvenient answer to this Jewish guy. But this is what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Doing to another what you would hope would be done to you. This is extraordinary kindness. It's so countercultural, you could even say it's outrageous. The sort of kindness that is not natural for us. But it is God's kindness that grows in us when we trust him, and when we trust in and follow him, and we live as he tells us to. This story is a stunning description and powerful demonstration of the extraordinary kindness of God that we find in Jesus. This is the God kindness that we are to grow in. When we read those words in the Galatians of the fruit of the Spirit, and we're so familiar with them, aren't we? We know love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We know these words. But it's so extraordinary that we have to dig into what does God mean when he says kindness. It is extraordinary. Let's talk about the extraordinary kindness of God a little bit further. Paul, who wrote the letter to Galatians a little bit later on, writes a letter to his friend Titus. And in this letter, he writes about what he and his friend were like before they experienced the extraordinary kindness of Jesus in their lives, and how their lives have changed since. He writes, "Before we believed in Christ, we ourselves were fools too. We did not obey God. We believed a false message. We wanted to do many things, many kinds of bad things, to make us happy. We couldn't stop doing them. Every day we did evil things. We were jealous of other people. People hated us, and we hated each other. But then, God, our Savior, showed clearly that he is very kind. He showed that he loves all people. God did not save us because of any good things that we ourselves had done. He saved us because he chose to forgive us. God has washed us so that we are clean inside. We have been born again, so that we live a new life. God's Holy Spirit has done this for us. Jesus Christ died as a sacrifice to save us. God came in the person of Jesus and showed his extraordinary kindness when we didn't deserve it. Paul is saying, I didn't deserve it, but he showed his extraordinary kindness to me because he loves all people and he saved me. The reality is that we all mess up, don't we? And we all need God. I mess up every day, confession point. And we don't actually have the power in our own strength to be the kind people that we might want to be. Why did hashtag be kind not really change anything? Because naturally we don't have the power to change within ourselves. When I think about my own lack of kindness each and every day, it might not manifest itself in huge ways of being unkind, but I certainly have unkind thoughts. And there are certainly things where I could have been kind and I chose not to be. These are our realities, aren't they? Naturally, I'm quite self-absorbed, but God is so very kind. And this is the good news. When I think back to the time when I first heard this good news and how much God loves me and how much God is very kind and how just that moment in my life transformed my life. And there's been an ongoing, thankfully, an ongoing transformation happening, which until Jesus returns will continue. But because of God's loving kindness, this is the good news. God is in the business of forgiveness. He's in the business of saving and transforming lives. He's in the business of dealing with our mess and giving us a clean start. Jesus gave his life so that we could live it fully and live it like Jesus, full of kindness. If this good news is new news to you today, then I'd love to chat to you about it a bit afterwards, or I'm sure Matt would love to chat to you about it a bit more afterwards, understanding what does this mean? What is Paul writing about when he talks about this good news in Titus? So God's love is extraordinary. But how does God's love change everything? Well, Paul goes on to continue in his letter to Titus, and he says, so now God has poured his Holy Spirit into us to fill us, because God is very kind. He's accepted us as right with himself. As a result, we know that we will receive the good things that God has prepared for us. We know that we will live with God forever. When we choose to follow Jesus, when we choose to surrender our lives to him, and he pours his Holy Spirit into us, God makes his home in us. He makes his home within us to build in us his characteristics and give us the power to live like him. God gives us all good things, including a home forever where there'll be unending kindness. So, how can we become more kind? Paul writes also in the Ephesians letter, he says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. It's so powerful to reflect on what God has done for us and what God continues to do for us in our lives every day, that it should rise up in us, not just inspiration, but desire to live differently, to actually be inspired to live as God wants us to live, because we ourselves have received such kindness. We've received such kindness and such forgiveness. How can we show people the kind of God kindness that we have ourselves experienced and received? How can we ourselves be a person who forgives and holds short accounts with other people? Not just with our friends, but with everyone. You see, God doesn't kind of give us an out on who qualifies for us to be kind and forgiving towards. God says that actually he calls us to be kind and forgiving to everyone, just as he loves everyone and is kind and forgiving to them. We can actually choose who we get to be kind towards if we follow Jesus, because he tells us to be kind. And it is actually good for us. There's a proverb in the Bible that says, your own soul is nourished when you are kind. Your own soul is nourished when you are kind. It's actually really good for us to be kind. It's not this simple selfless act. It actually is really good for us when we are kind. And I don't think being kind has to be very complicated. And it's something that we can practice every single day. How, you might ask? I mean, I'm sure you can all share stories of how you have experienced kindness yourself and how God's given you opportunities to show kindness in small ways and big ways to people around you. Maybe these things could be helpful to you as you think through, pray, think, speak, act, as you think about how God can grow kindness in you. It's always good to start with prayer, isn't it? It's always good to start with prayer. Because first and foremost, we need to go to the source of kindness to grow in kindness. You can start by thanking God for his kindness. I think we can sometimes maybe take for granted, of course God is kind, of course God loves me, of course God has given me life. But actually taking a moment to thank God for his kindness in your life will spur something up, it will draw something up in you, I think, in terms of how you therefore respond to others. Thankfulness is such an important thing, discipline for us, I think, to be thankful people. And also being thankful for where you've experienced kindness and thanking God for those people where you've experienced kindness. But it's also good to ask God to open your eyes to the opportunities that he gives you to show kindness every day. That could be a prayer you start every day. Please, God, open my eyes to opportunities to show kindness today. And pray specifically for the people that you find difficult. I remember finding someone really difficult once, and I for various reasons. And I decided to, actually, I was in a situation where I was praying with the person for someone else. And as we were praying, God just started to change my heart towards this other person that I was finding difficult. It was amazing. And I found consistently when you pray for a person you find difficult, it's very hard to stay in an embittered state around that person. So pray for people that you specifically find difficult. Think. I think a lot of unkindness can sometimes come from thoughtlessness. And so think about how you are living your life this week. Think about how you're living your life this week. Where do you need to add margins to respond to the opportunities God provides for you to show kindness? Often our lives are so busy, they're so full, we're so hurried that actually we miss those opportunities, those moments to show some degree of kindness to someone. So where do you need to add margins in your life where you can respond to the opportunities that God gives you to show kindness? Think about who God might be asking you to show unexpected kindness to this week. Think before you respond with outrage to that post on social media that you've seen. Where can you show unexpected kindness this week? Speak. Speaking is so much more than just our words. Obviously, kind words. But it's important also to consider, when we want people to experience kindness, is to consider our tone, smiling, and our own body language sometimes helps for people to experience warmth and kindness from us. And then finally, act. Kindness always takes time. Like I said earlier, we can be so hurried that we don't have the margins in our lives to respond to the kind of times of kindness, the opportunities for kindness that we encounter. Try not to be in a hurry. I know that we're all busy. But just giving yourself an extra few minutes where you can go into the supermarket and you decide not to rush through the self-checkout, but you go and you go through the checkout where there's a person that's had no person speak to them all day. They've always got a name badge. It's always nice to say, "Hi, Tracy." I have no idea. It kind of shocks people when you say that because they're not expecting it. But, "Hi, Tracy, how's your day been?" It has such a powerful impact. And my son was telling me a story recently where he asked someone, he was buying a coffee, I think, and he asked someone how their day had been. And she was like, "You're the first person today that's actually spoken to me and asked me anything." And I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." But anyway, had a lovely little conversation. And then a little while later, his girlfriend was going into the shop to get something. And he said, "Ask her how she is." She's like, "You're the second person today." But it's good to take those moments to see the person before you. Be interruptible. Be interruptible. This morning at Breakfast Church, we just had a few moments to share some ideas of how you Worthing can experience something of kindness this week from us. And some very simple, straightforward things, but it's beautiful. So examples, there were a lot of people that said, smile. It really does make an impact. When you smile at a person, it makes such a difference. Say hello. Offer help. Have a conversation with someone who looks lonely. Notice people. That's when you're not hurried. You notice somebody that might not be, that might look a bit lonely. Go and say hello. Be kind to everyone, even drivers. Even drivers. Help a neighbour with your garden. Take 10 minutes out of your day to spend time with someone. Say good morning to passing people. That also shocks people if you say good morning as you walk past them. But it's a beautiful moment, just a little act of kindness. Couple more. Offer to meet up with someone for coffee. Your treat, someone you rarely see. I don't know about you, I'm often saying, yeah, let's get together for coffee, and then you walk away, and you actually didn't make that date to get together for coffee. Make the date to get together for coffee. It'll make a difference. Last one. Buy the person behind me in the queue a coffee. That's a shocker. Oh, that's telling me to stop. I meant to put it on silent, sorry. May you be glad I'm going to stop now. That was what a good time, wasn't it? But anyway, that's a great thing to do. It's a surprising thing to do. If you're going through a drive-through or you're in Starbucks or wherever you have a coffee, just give an extra £2. I don't know how much the coffee costs. I know the cost of anything. However much it costs for the person behind you, it'll make their day. It'll be blown away. And maybe they'll do the same also. But you can come up with all your own ideas. But maybe think about this week. What can I do slightly differently to show some kindness to someone this week? Or what can I do more of to show kindness to someone this week? But pray as you go into your days. It's amazing when you pray how God opens your eyes to the opportunities that you might not have seen otherwise. Amen.
Thank you, Leslie. And if you'd mind starting to...